Well, good evening and welcome to Faith Covenant Church. If we haven't met, my name is Mike. I am one of the pastors on staff here, and I want to say thank you for joining us on this Good Friday. Now, there are a couple things you should know about our service this evening. One is that it's going to be different. With everything that is going on right now in our world, there's no way we can do our Good Friday service the way that we wanted to and the way that we normally do. So some of the elements this evening, just by necessity, they're going to be different. At the same time, though, the purpose is the same. See, Good Friday is about spending time in the upper room and at the foot of the cross so that when Sunday comes, we are best equipped to worship at the empty tomb. In the culture that we live in today, we have this tendency to want to skip Friday and just go right to Sunday. But that's not the best way to do that. The best way to be really ready to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus is to have first remembered in the upper room and mourned at the foot of the cross. And so that's what we're going to do tonight. It'll be somber at times as we read and as we sing and as we pray and as we meditate. But hopefully, when we're done, our hearts will be in a different place, a place where we're more fully prepared for what's coming on Sunday. So if you would you just begin in prayer with me, please? Father, just as we begin tonight to reflect back on the upper room, to spend time with Jesus and his disciples there, as we go to the foot of the cross and we mourn, God, please do a work in our hearts, a work that prepares them for what's to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took the bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. But the hand of him who is going to betray me is with mine on the table. The Son of Man will go as it has been decreed, but woe to that man who betrays him." They began to question among themselves which of them it might be who would do this.
So as we begin this evening in the upper room, we're going to celebrate communion together. Communion began with Jesus taking a tradition, an ancient Hebrew tradition, the Seder meal, and redefining it for his first followers. And so now, as followers of Jesus, we celebrate communion. communion is a number of things. We're told that in communion, we participate in the body and blood of Christ. That in communion, somehow, in this unique spiritual practice, Jesus and his presence is experienced in a unique and special way. We're told that in communion, we actively remember, we actively call to mind the person and work of Jesus. And that in communion, we proclaim his death and resurrection until he returns. Communion is an I believe kind of moment. Now, because we're live streaming tonight, communion's going to be different. And if you didn't get the emails or the newsletter and you didn't know that we were going to be celebrating communion this evening, if you want, you can push pause on your device and head into the kitchen and get some juice and some bread to participate in this with us. And you just push pause and we'll just wait and we'll be right here when you come back. But when you do come back, the way this is going to work is we're going to work through the liturgy of communion together. And then we're going to have you pass the elements there in your homes. See, ideally, we'd be doing this physically present together. But again, because of what's going on in our world today, we can't. But while our presence knows limitations, the presence of Jesus doesn't. And ironically enough, when those ancient Jews were celebrating that Seder meal, it was each of them as family units in different homes. So tonight, we're going to receive the bread and we're going to receive the cup in our homes together. So let's start with the liturgy of communion. And the night that he was betrayed, we're told that Jesus took bread and he gave thanks and he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, telling them, "This is my body, broken for you. As often as you do this in remembrance of me." And we're told that after supper, he took the cup, and he gave it for all of them to drink, and he told them, "This is the cup of the new and everlasting covenant. My blood shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you do this in remembrance of me." So what I want to invite you to do at this time is just distribute among yourselves at home the bread that you have. And then when everyone has that bread, we're just going to receive it together. And after we do, we're just going to have a few brief moments just to be quiet, just to remember. And I want to invite you in those moments just to remember who Jesus was. Just call to mind a different aspect of his person. The body of Christ, broken for us. I want to invite you next to get your juice and to pass that out among everyone that's in the room with you. If you're using a common cup in your house, it's going to get a little dicier. Well, again, we're going to receive the juice together. And as we do, we'll take a few moments afterwards. And again, just be quiet. And I want to invite you in that time to just remember what Jesus did for you, to reflect on his blood shed for the forgiveness of your sins. The blood of Christ shed for us. Father, as we have shared this feast together, received this bread, received from this cup, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the one who came and showed us the way, who laid down his life for us so that we could be made right with God. As we remember the upper room and we celebrate communion, something that goes all the way back to that first Good Friday, help us just experience the presence of Christ, to remember him and to proclaim him to the world around us. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
Together. Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin the double cure, save from wrath and make me pure. Ooh. Ooh. Not the labor of my hands can fulfill. Sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. Ooh. Ooh. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to in thee. Ooh. for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he could give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory.
Then he released Barabbas to them. But he had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. When the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole company of soldiers around him, they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe, and then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand. Then they knelt down in front of him and mocked him. "Hail, King of the Jews," they said. They spit on him and took the staff and struck him on the head again and again. After they had mocked him, they took off the robe and put his clothes on him. Then they led him away to be crucified. As they were going out, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon, and they forced him to carry the cross. They came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. There they offered Jesus wine, drink mixed with gall, but after he tasted it, he refused to drink it. When they had crucified him, they divided up his clothes by casting lots. And sitting down, they kept watch over him. Above his head, they placed the written charge against him: "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Two rebels were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down off the cross if you are the Son of God." In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law and the elders mocked him. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down off the cross and we will believe him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him. For he said, 'I'm the Son of God.'" In the same way, the rebels who were crucified with him also heaped insults on him. As we continue tonight, we're going to spend some time at the foot of the cross. And as we do, I want to share with you two stories of two different father and son duos. The first father and son, you may or may not be familiar with their story. There was a song written about it, a book written about it, and a couple of years ago, a movie released about it. It's the story of Bart Millard, the Christian songwriter who sings with Mercy Me, the band that released the song I Can Only Imagine. In a lot of ways, it's an ugly story and it's a dark story. It's one that ends with some redemption, but there's a lot of pain that was traveled through to get to that redemption. Bart's story begins when Bart's in grade school. He made the honor roll, and they sent him home with a form for his parents to sign to celebrate that he made the honor roll. Bart took the form home, but he didn't have his parents sign it. He forged it and brought it back to school. Now, that can seem kind of nuts because it's like good news. You'd want your parents to know you had good grades. But Bart's dad was abusive. And so oftentimes, if Bart could avoid interacting directly with his dad, he did. And this is one of those times. He forged his signature and he just handed it in. Unfortunately, in grade school, Bart wasn't the best forger. And his teacher could look at the signature and she knew it wasn't his dad's. And she wanted his dad to know that Bart was doing well in school, so she called his dad up to tell him about it. Now, when his dad heard about it, he initially laughed it off with the teacher. But he was incredibly embarrassed. And that embarrassment, it evolved into just rage and infuriation. And he went home and he waited for his son. Bart got home from school that day and came into the house, and the beating began with a razor strap across the back of his legs. Bart recalls how he never received a beating of that magnitude from his dad before. It was bad enough. He was afraid for his own life. And what was finally done, Bart was so bad off, he couldn't lay on his back. Went into his bedroom, and for hours he laid on his stomach and just sobbed until his dad burst into the room, clicked on the lights, and demanded, "When are you going to stop crying?" And it's at that point that Bart's dad saw the welts and the bruises on his son's back, and he stopped. And for the first time, Bart saw his father cry. His dad was afraid of what he'd done, and he was afraid of what he might do. And so he sent Bart to live with his mom and her new husband. Now, as crazy as it sounds, Bart missed his dad. It didn't help he didn't like living with his mom and her new husband, but he missed being with dad. And so at the end of sixth grade, Bart moved back in with his father. Now, it wasn't all smooth relation between the two of them, but the beatings stopped. Unfortunately, though, in seventh grade, Bart had an incredibly painful experience with his dad. Towards the end of seventh grade, Bart went to a party and just got incredibly drunk at the party. And his dad later on found out about it, and his dad's reaction was to cut Bart off. Just total apathy. He told him, "Do what you want. I don't care anymore." And he meant it. For years, they hardly spoke. Bart could be away from the house doing whatever he felt like doing, days at a time, not come home. His dad didn't care. Never said a word about it. And for Bart, that stung more than any razor strap ever could have. Bart said that his dad cutting him off, turning his back on him, just relationally having nothing to do with him, Bart said that that was the most painful thing his father ever did to him. Think about that. Think about that. In the midst of all of that physical abuse, his dad shutting him off relationally was the most painful thing that Bart ever experienced with his dad. Now, if you've hung around here at Faith for a while, that should trigger something in your mind, because we talked about that kind of stuff during the Daddy Issue series a while back. How this is how we are wired as human beings. There's something inside of us that makes our relationship with Dad unique and powerful. It's as though we were designed to be relationally connected to Him. And when that connection is severed, when it's intentionally cut off, emotionally, spiritually, it is so painful. Sometimes, even more painful than the pain of physical abuse. Now, Bart and his dad, their story doesn't end there. But before we talk about how their story ends, I want to look at the other father and son duo. Their story is recorded for us in Mark's biography of Jesus' life. And the section of it that we want to look at is found in chapter 15, where we read this. At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. And at 3 p.m, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" See, just before Jesus breathes his last breath and dies, he cries out from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Here's what's going on with that. We have Jesus, God the Son, who has lived in perfect relationship with God the Father from eternity past. He comes to heaven as a human being, clothed in flesh and bone and blood. He lives a sinless life and shows us the way, all the while maintaining that perfect relationship with his Father. But on the cross, something different, something incredible happens. The Apostle Paul expresses it this way. He says, "For God, God the Father, made Christ, God the Son, who never sinned, to be an offering for sin." According to Paul, on the cross, God the Father made God the Son, who had never sinned, an offering for sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. See, when Jesus took our sin upon himself, something incredibly painful happened. The Father, whose holiness would not abide our sin that Jesus was bearing, the Father turned his back on the Son. The Father severed his connection between himself and Jesus. For the first time from eternity past, God the Son was cut off relationally from God the Father. And so as we see Jesus cry, my God, why have you forsaken me? What we are witnessing is Jesus experiencing emotional and spiritual pain greater than the physical abuse he endured that led him up to and on the cross. A pain that came because of the sin he was bearing for us. And yet, Jesus willingly chose to bear this pain so that we might be made right with God. See, our sin creates a barrier between us and our Father in heaven. It cuts us off relationally from our Father in heaven, and we're powerless to do anything about it ourselves. We needed someone who had never sinned to be an offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God. And that's exactly what Jesus did on the cross. On the cross, as he bore our sin, Jesus experienced the pain of being cut off from his Father. He experienced the emotional and spiritual pain, one greater than the physical abuse that he endured, so that we could be made right with God. Jesus was forsaken so that we could be forgiven. So back to Bart and his dad. Bart, when his father cut him off, eventually he started going to church. And at church, Bart discovered a relationship with his Father in heaven. And eventually that relationship with his Father in heaven, it began to push Bart to seek reconciliation with his dad on earth. And that reconciliation, it began to work itself out when Bart's dad was diagnosed with cancer. For the 4 years that Bart was in high school, he spent all kinds of time with his dad as his dad was being treated for cancer. Shared with his dad about the Father in heaven who he had discovered, and his relationship with his dad slowly began to be reconciled. Right before Bart's dad lost his battle with cancer, he sat Bart down to tell him two things. He told him first, he said, "Bart, I just want you to know, I am so proud of you. I'm just so proud of you. I also want you to know, you have a gift. Musically, you are so gifted, and I believe in that gift." And then what Bart's dad did is he set up a fund so that after he died, every month for 10 years, Bart would get a check for $600. And it was designed to enable Bart to try and pursue that gift of making it in the music industry. Well, Bart's dad died. And for the first time in his life, Bart found himself mad at God. Like, he'd finally gotten the father he wanted, and now God takes him away. Bart had this just defining moment in his relationship with God at his dad's gravesite. He's there with the family, and his dad's mom, his grandmother, this woman of faith, she makes this comment to Bart that just stuck with him. She looks at him and she says, "I can only imagine what your dad is seeing and experiencing right now. I can only imagine." Bart couldn't shake those words. They haunted him for about a decade. And they led to the inspiration behind the song that he dedicated to his father in his memory called "I Can Only Imagine." The last week that Bart got a check for $600, that song hit number one on the Christian pop charts. Two different fathers and sons, two different stories. Tonight, as we spend time at the foot of the cross, my hope, my prayer is that we'll remember Jesus was cut off from his Father in heaven so that we could be made right with our Father in heaven. Jesus was forsaken so that we could be forgiven. So that when our last day in this life comes, we'll be ready for our first day in the life that is to come. And on that day, we'll be prepared to be surrounded by the glory of Jesus, to dance in his presence, or just in awe of him, be still. Maybe we'll fall at his feet and just cry out alleluia to the one who made it possible for us to be right with God. As we continue in our worship, I just want to invite you to pray with me. And it's especially if today you're not connected to your Father in heaven, if today you have yet to embrace what Jesus did on the cross so that you could be made right with God, if that's where you're at and you know that and you're ready for that to change, I want to invite you to pray with me before we continue in our worship together. Father, just as we have spent time at the foot of the cross, thank you for Jesus. Father, just some of us today, we just come to you confessing that we have sinned, just acknowledging that our sin stands between us and a relationship with our Father in heaven. Just confessing we are powerless to fix this ourselves, but so grateful that Christ, who never sinned, was willing to come and be an offering for our sin. The innocent dying in the place of the guilty so that we could be made right with God. And so today, we put our hope and our faith in Jesus and his life and in his death and his resurrection. And we surrender our lives to following him. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Guilty, vile, and helpless me, spotless Lamb of God was he, full atonement. Can it be?
Later, knowing that everything now had been finished, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of hyssop plant, and lifted it up to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit.
Oh, sacred head, now wounded with grief. Shame weighed down, now scornfully surrounded with thorns, thine only crown. Oh, sacred head, what glory, what bliss till now was thine. What?
Father, just tonight, as we've taken time to try and remember, as we've taken time to try and mourn, we just ask that you would meet us and that you would help us. Thank you so much for Good Friday, for all that it means to us now, for all that it makes possible to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Church, it's Friday, but Sunday is coming. We hope you'll join us then.